Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God's plan from the very beginning with Abraham was to raise up a nation through a child that was born to Sarah. And out of that nation would come the Messiah, and the Messiah would bless all nations, even the United States, that wasn't even around until 1800 years or so after Christ had died. Our nation is blessed by that seed of Abraham today.
What God says, when we really believe His promises, when we believe that we are His children. We are in our special series, I Believe, as we look at God's perfect and precious plan to bring about the Messiah who came to save us all. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Father, thank you so much for all that you're allowing us to do, for all of the different ministries that we have reaching different people for Christ. We thank you for those that come alongside and partner with us in all of these things. And we pray for those that gave, that you would meet their needs according to your riches. As we take part of what you provide for us, and we give it back to you. Thank you that we have that opportunity. We also pray for our Bible study today, that you would help us to take this passage, understand exactly what is here, help us in our walk with you this week by what we learn in this passage, perhaps even the rest of our lives. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In this section of scripture that we're covering today, John 8:31 through 59, we find Jesus dealing with misconceptions of the Jewish leaders. When I say misconceptions, I mean false things that the Jewish leaders believed about their eternity. They thought that they were in right standing with God. Right standing, we could say, they thought they had righteousness, right standing with God, but they didn't. They thought they were on their way to heaven, but they were on their way to hell. They thought they knew God, but they weren't following God at all. They were following the enemy. So what was it about them that allowed them to think that they were okay when they were not okay? This is really good for us to understand and know, because that's the last thing that we want. Can you imagine having some major misconception in your life? You think you're okay, only to find out that you are not okay. Now, a couple other things about this discussion between Jesus and the religious leaders in Jerusalem. This took place during a feast. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the last feast of the year. 6 months from now, Jesus will be dead. He will die at the Feast of Passover. This is the Feast of Tabernacle. So Jesus is using this last feast in his life to be able to make several grand, powerful statements. He makes those grand, powerful statements today in this discussion. It's also a hostile discussion. Jesus is teaching in the temple. There are several of them who believe in him. That's verse 31. We covered this last weekend. And you remember that Jesus said, "Now that you believe in me, then if you abide in my word, then you will have eternal life." He gave them the next step, abiding in his word, listening to what Jesus says, doing the things that Jesus says is the next step. When you decide, I want to be a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I think he was the Messiah, then the next step for us is believing in his word. They're taken back by that because they say, what do you mean we have to abide in your word? They're not receiving him as the Messiah. When they believed in him, they were beginning to believe in that, but they still didn't understand how interwoven Jesus was or is with God and being the Messiah and being God incarnate, God in the flesh. So they said, we don't need to obey your word because we are Abraham's descendants. So this whole conversation that we're covering today is an open, hostile conversation with religious leaders that has to do with Abraham. They're claiming Abraham as their father, and therefore they are okay. So in order to understand where Jesus goes in this conversation, we need to talk a little bit about Abraham in the beginning of our study. Abraham is one of the most important Old Testament figures for the nation of Israel. It is the very beginning. Before Abraham, there was no nation of Israel. After Abraham, the foundation was laid for the nation of Israel. And so God looked down at the world during the days of Abraham, 3,500 years ago. And he appeared to him while he was in a place called Mesopotamia. He was living in a family that was an idol-worshiping family. And God spoke to Abraham, told him to leave his family, to leave his land, to follow him, and to go to a land that God would show him. Abraham, after a little bit of a stutter step, he went to an area called Haran, and then he went a few years later into Canaan, into the land of Canaan, where God appeared to him again and told him that his wife was going to bear a child. Abraham, 75 years old, was childless. This was a bit of irony because Abraham's name had not been changed to Abraham yet. God would give him the name Abraham. His name was Abram, and Abram means father. This guy that had the name father didn't have any kids. He had a wife, Sarah, who was 10 years younger than him, but the clock has definitely been ticking for a while. And then God promises, when he gets into the land of Israel, he gives him this grand promise. Not just that you're going to have a son through Sarah, but your descendants, Abraham, he's 75 years old. Your descendants, Abraham, are going to be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. Do you see how often faith, trusting in God, believing in God, goes against the natural idea? The natural idea would be, probably not. I'm 75 years old. I'm past the time when people normally have children, right? Which is in their 20s and 30s, maybe 40s, tops. But I'm way past that age, and that I'm going to have descendants like the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. When it didn't happen again for a while, then Abraham, through Sarah, decided to help God out. Any of you guys ever do that? I don't want hands on this one, by the way. God, you're just not acting fast enough. You're just not taking care of things quick enough. I'm going to help you out. And so Sarah gave her handmaiden, Hagar, to Abram to have a child with. And they did. It was successful. But the works of the flesh are maybe successful. He has a son now. His name is Ishmael. So God appears to him afterwards. Now when people ask him, what's your name? Father. How many kids you got? None. Now he says, what's your name? Father. How many kids you got? One. And then God shows up to Abraham and says, I'm going to change your name. No longer will you be Abram, but now you will be Abraham or Abraham, which means father of many. So the irony continues. What's your name? Abraham. How many kids you got? One. Still, there's irony, but that's God's plan. God's plan is that he would be the father of an entire nation. A few years later, God appears once again to Abraham. It seems like in the life of Abraham, God's appearing every other week, but it's not. He appears to Abraham like 5 or 6 times during his lifetime. But God appears to Abraham and says to him, your wife's going to conceive and bear a son. And Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Ishmael is the son that Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden, had. So he says, let our help stand before you and do what you're going to do through Ishmael. And God says, no. But it will be Sarah who will bear a child. And out of that child will come a nation. And out of that nation will come a seed, one singular, a person who will bless all nations. So God's plan from the very beginning with Abraham was to raise up a nation through a child that was born to Sarah. And out of that nation would come the Messiah. And the Messiah would bless all nations, even the United States, that wasn't even around until 1,800 years or so after Christ had died. Our nation is blessed by that seed of Abraham today. Now, when Abraham heard God say that, Sarah's going to bear a child. Your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky, the sand of the sea. He gives them that again. And out of you is going to come a seed who's going to bless all nations. The Bible says this. Abraham believed, and it was accredited to him righteousness. Abraham gained a right standing with God when Abraham believed what God said. Therefore, Galatians tells us that we are the children of Abraham when we believe. Not because we're descendants of them. I have a English descent. I have a German descent. I have a Dutch descent. I have a German descent. My dad used to say, we're a Heinz 57 descent. That's where we come from. We're a mixture of everything. But my real lineage, my real heritage is that I have believed in Jesus. When I was 14 years old, I called out on his name. I gave my life to Christ. God began to work in my life, and I became a descendant of Abraham. Not physically. I'm not Jewish. I'm not Arab. Both Jewish and Arab come as descendants of Abraham, but I am a spiritual descendant of Abraham. In Galatians, it will say, those that are born of Abraham are not the descendants of Abraham, but those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. The real descendants is those who will believe, because when Abraham believed, then it was accredited to him righteousness. Now, what did he believe? He believed that God was going to give a child to Sarah. He believed that that child was going to bless all nations. He believed all the things that God was saying. Now, really quick, we fast forward a little bit. The Lord appears to Abraham. The Lord appears to him. God appeared to Abraham. It's kind of a strange story. In the Old Testament, there are quite a few strange stories. But the Lord appears to Abraham with two angels. And Abraham receives him. And when he sits down, he says, when I come back by this way next year, your wife's going to have a child. Sarah at this point is 89 years old. And she is inside the tent eavesdropping on the conversation of the Lord and Abraham, who received the Lord on the porch. And the Bible says Abraham laughed. And that the Lord said to her, said to Abraham, why did your wife laugh? And from inside of the tent, Sarah says, I didn't laugh. So she's listening to the conversation. She says, I didn't laugh. A year later, the Lord comes back by again, and they have a child, Isaac. The name Isaac is laughter. That's what the name Isaac means. So when she finally had a child at 90, Abraham being 100, the Bible says that Abraham didn't consider the deadness of his body. I don't think I need to be too specific of what Abraham means by the deadness of his body. He didn't even consider the deadness of his body to be a barrier to God allowing them to have a child. And God has made the descendants of Abraham like the stars of the sea and the sand of the shore. So they are in a hostile conversation with Jesus, and they're claiming that they are descendants of Abraham, so they are okay. So Jesus picks it up in verse 37 of chapter 8 of the book of John. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Jesus acquiesces to them. You are Abraham's descendants. You're Jewish. All Jewish people are physical descendants of Abraham. He says, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have done with your father. Jesus is introducing this idea that you are really not a descendant of Abraham if you don't believe. Yes, we know that they're descendants genetically. But the most important thing isn't genetically, it's spiritual. Because that gives you eternity. When we are descendants of Abraham, because we believe. So he says, you are descendants of Abraham. However, you seek to kill me. And therefore, you have a different father. Spiritually, they don't have the father Abraham like you and I do now. They have a different father. In other words, they are claiming that their descendant is Abraham, but Abraham received the Lord. And in the Old Testament, whenever God appears, it's a Christophany. This is a theological term. It's a Christ appearance. That's what theophany means. Christ appearance. A Christ appearance in the Old Testament. So whenever God appeared to Gideon, to Joshua, to Abraham, When the Lord appeared to them wrestling with Jacob, it was a Christophany in the Old Testament. So when the Lord appeared to Abraham, Abraham received him. He didn't want to kill them. So he's saying, you say you're the descendants of Abraham, but Abraham didn't want to kill me. Do you see his point? Abraham didn't want to kill me. You guys want to kill me. Therefore, you have a different father. Your father is someone entirely different, spiritually. Okay? And so he goes on. He says, their misconception is we have Abraham as our father, therefore we're okay. Jesus says, you have a different father spiritually. They answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. He said, you want to kill me. You want to do what your father does. And they say, Abraham is our father. Jesus once again reiterates. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. The real descendants of Abraham are spiritual. When we do the works of Abraham, we become the children of Abraham, believing by faith. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Jesus is saying, what did I do that you want to kill me? I've done no crime. I've just told you the truth and you want to kill me. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. So again, he points to them. Abraham didn't do this. You want to kill me. I didn't do anything wrong. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, and that's God. They up the ante. First of all, they are attacking Jesus personally. Shouldn't surprise us at this point because they've attacked him earlier. This is a hostile, open conversation. There are people in the temple listening to Jesus. Jesus is now having an open debate with the religious leaders and himself. And so they say, we weren't born of fornication. They know. Jesus has been around for 2.5 years now in ministry. They know that Jesus was born in Nazareth to Mary. They know the backstory. They know that she was betrothed to Joseph when she was found to be with child. And when they say, we were not born of fornication, they're denying the supernatural birth of Jesus. And they're claiming that it was from fornication. So they have attacked him personally here. Jesus doesn't step up with them and banter back with them on that personal level. That would be the temptation when you're debating someone and they attack you personally. You want to get back at them. But Jesus continues to make his point. He's not attacking them personally. He's telling them, because you want to kill me, you are now spiritually a descendant of the devil who wants to kill people. That's the point Jesus is making. They up the ante by saying, we are not born of fornication, but our father is God. Now they went one up. They had said before, our father is Abraham. Jesus acquiesced it. Now they're saying, our father is God. We are religious. This brings us to the second misconception. The first we covered last week, which was, if we are descendants of Abraham, we're Jewish, therefore we're going to heaven. We saw how that relates to us today, and that you and I can say, I'm a Christian, I go to Calvary Chapel, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Methodist Costal, which is a cross between Pentecostal and Methodist, I'm a Charis Baptist, whatever you are, whatever your background is, that you think you're okay because you've gone to church. But remember, Jesus said to religious people who said, we cast out demons in your name, we did miracles in your name, and Jesus said to them, away from me, for I never knew you. It's not about being Methodist or Baptist or Catholic or Calvary Chapel. It's not bad to be any of those things. But if you don't have a relationship with God, they will not help you at all. They become a misconception. I'm all right because I'm Methodist, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are not okay. Now, their second misconception, I'm a religious person. It's not about their heritage at this point. I'm a religious person. My father is God. That's their second misconception. Jesus is now going to deal with this misconception. So they say, our father is God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? He's saying to them, if you really belong to God, then you would have received me, the Messiah. But since you have rejected me It's a sign of who you really are, of what you really believe. Periodically, I'll have someone who will tell me, I know I'm not doing what's right, but I love God. Well, if you love God, then you want to keep His commandments. There's a revelation. I had a gal tell me one time, she was divorcing her husband, and she had already met somebody else. She was divorcing her husband. She saw me at, Chipotle. Don't know why I can't think of certain things, certain times. She saw me at Chipotle. I was by myself, and she came over. She goes, can I sit down and talk with you? I said, sure. So she sat down. She said, I want you to know that I am divorcing my husband. I'm going to marry this other guy, but I want you to know I'm a spiritual woman. It ruined the whole meal. Because I had to say to her, listen, you're not spiritual. You say you are, but what you're doing is not. You can't have it both ways. You can't say I'm spiritual, but I'm doing something that is not right. If you love God, doesn't mean you don't struggle. There's no one who doesn't sin, but if you love God, then you're going to do what's right. That's what these people are doing. We are children of God, but they want to kill Jesus. They want to commit murder. And so Jesus goes on to say in verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Now, why does he say that? Listen to what he says. And the desire of your father you want to do. He's not just insulting them. You insulted me about my not being born of fornication. Now I'm insulting you. You're of your father, the devil. Now his point is this. The devil is a murderer. You want to murder me. Therefore, that shows spiritually your father is the devil. If you were of God, you would have received me. What we do ends up revealing to us where we really are. And so he says, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, that's the end of verse 44, and does not stand in the truth. The devil is a murderer. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and he doesn't stand in the truth at all. So they're willing to stand not in the truth, and they want to kill Jesus. That's a revelation of who their real father is, spiritually. It says, when he speaks a lie, that's the devil, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? He's saying, you're attacking me. Tell me what my sin is. What have I done that you guys want to murder me over? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God, that's who they said they were from, he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not from God. God isn't your father. It's very simple. If you really are from God, if you really are a child of God, the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. If you're a child of God, then God's going to transform you and change you, and you're going to reflect that. You'll want to do the things that God wants to do because you're a child of His. If you don't want to do the things that God wants you to do, then there's a misconception. This is a way for us to evaluate where we are now before we enter into eternity.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.